is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for, May 18th, 2018. And sorry, just having a little troubles getting settled into my chair here, but I'm ready to go now. And we've got a great show planned for you today. I have a special guest coming in just a little bit, probably about halfway through the show. Our guest will be here and we'll talk to him probably the rest of the show after he arrives. And what we're going to be talking about is the recent, the state golf tournament was taking place this past week, and four of the five, and this was the boys tournament, the girls tournament was played separately, but in the boys tournament, the Rogue River team, four of the five Rogue River athletes, as well as I believe another eight athletes, were disqualified because of a big misunderstanding. From what I can tell, a mistake was made by the officials and by the people that set up the course for the day. There was actually more than one mistake was made, and unfortunately, the young men paid the price for that. And I'd like to get a firsthand account of that. So we have from the Rogue River Junior Senior High School golf team, Joe LeFever is coming in to talk to me today. Joe was in the, I believe he was in the fourth group that had gone through the course. So they start the tournament and they launch in groups, of course. And I wasn't there. I don't know if they start you in different places or if everybody starts it at the first hole and they just go out in groups, you know, at different time intervals. But either way, he was in the fourth group that arrived at this 13th tee where all of this kerfuffle took place. And so we're gonna try and get to the bottom of what happened. Joe was at least in part, if not completely, the one responsible for a very nice write-up being on the website for Golf Digest. So even it's national news that this Oregon State tournament that included the Rogue River Chieftains, that there was this big mix-up. And so we're going to get to the bottom of that today. I'm really looking forward to getting Joe in here. I've actually never met Joe, so I'm looking forward to meeting him. And the Chieftain golf team has had an amazing season. It's just been a great, great season. I know Sophia Woodall was the first female golfer from Rogue River to make the state tournament, and they've just had an amazing year. And most of you know that. You listen to the show. I've talked about the golf team and talked about the results of their different events, and so it's a shame that the season had to end this way, because it was just such a great season for these guys. You've got the Gordon brothers that were playing excellent. You've got Evan Mingerhausen. I'm not gonna get everybody named, but when Joe gets here, we'll make sure. I know there's, I believe, one, the youngest member of the team, Asher Brotherton, I believe is his name. So it's just been a great, great year for the golf team. And again, I may be forgetting somebody. We'll get to everybody when we get to that interview. But it's just been a great season, and it's a shame it had to end this way. But we're going to see if we can get to the bottom of what happened at that tournament. So before we do that, this show is going to be mostly Chieftain sports today, I admit it. So if you don't like sports, you feel free to tune out now, but I don't think you'll want to. There's a lot of great kids I'm going to mention today, talking about the spring sports, because everything's kind of coming to an end. There's the only thing really left now is a baseball playoff, which hopefully will turn into more than one playoff game, but we'll get into that. And if there's any time left, I there's a couple of issues going on that, you know, I may have an opinion about, but if you're lucky, the rest of the show will take up too much time for me to get to that. So I appreciate you having you here. And let's get into it here. Let's take a look at some of the results for the Chieftain Sports. Let's start with my favorite, and I'll admit this is my favorite, that I grew up, and I probably told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again, and I'll give the brief version here. I grew up going to fast pitch softball, men's fast pitch softball, with my brother, my older brother. Most of you know him as Mike in the Truck. He is a frequent contributor to many of my broadcasting duties. We used to go. We had a team called the Guanella Brothers. They were They were a national champion. They had been to the ASA Men's National Championship tournament on several occasions, and they would host, you know, really big tournaments. They would usually invite one or two top level teams, and then a few kind of next level teams. In fact, some of those teams included someone that some of you probably know, Mr. John White. He's a substitute teacher. He's currently coaching, I believe, softball at Eagle Point, but he's coached for the Chieftains on several occasions. And John White used to play for some of the teams that would get invited to the Guanella Brothers tournaments there in Santa Rosa, California. And so I love softball. I grew up on it. When the Guanella Brothers closed down the team, they actually moved the team, which was kind of a letdown, and then they finally closed down the team. Then my brother and I became, well, we were already Oakland A's fans, but we became season ticket holders for the A's. So I love baseball and softball, but I just have a soft spot in my heart for fast pitch softball. And the girls this year didn't have the kind of season they were hoping for. It was an up and down season. They finished really strong. But there's a lot of really good pieces on that team, most of which will be returning next season. And so I think there's good things to come for the softball team. This was the first year with Jill Westlake as the head coach. Of course, she's the daughter of the longtime coach, Dennis Artoff. And we talked to them here on Rogue Talk. In fact, if you want to hear that interview, you can go to our website, look that up, look for under the audio tab, look for Rogue Talk, and that interview will be there, along with all the other shows that you might be interested in. But Jill had essentially, as Dennis said in that interview, had essentially been the head coach for the last few years, that he had put most of those duties onto her, and she's done an excellent job. The story of this season, And this is not to take anything away from the ladies that were pitching for the Lady Chieftains, but they weren't as dominant from the pitching circle as they had been the past couple of seasons. And as most of you know, if you follow baseball and softball, especially at the high school level, if you have that one dominant pitcher, it makes a huge difference in the success of your team. And again, I don't take anything away from Lizzie and from the other the other girls that pitched this year. They pitched very well at times and struggled at other times, as any pitcher would, but just didn't put together the kind of dominant season that the Chieftains have had in the past. And again, that Lizzie had a really good beginning of the season, kind of fell off at the middle part of the season, lost her starting spot for a few games. But she pitched very well to end the season again, and part of that, I think, was refocusing and concentrating on what her strengths were and pitching to her strengths. And I tip my hat to her. And as I mentioned during a couple of the broadcasts, Lizzie is very unflappable. She could, you know, walk a couple of batters, load the bases maybe, and she just, her focus never changed. And that's an important part of being a pitcher. Is you can't, and if you have errors behind you or something like that, you can't let that get in your head and bring you down. So I salute her. I had a lot of fun watching her and broadcasting those games, so I'm not taking anything away from her at all. But there's a lot of pieces on that team that are really, really good, and I think that they'll bounce back next season. I really do. there's a lot of girls that were sophomores and juniors that, that will still be there next year that are a strong part of that. Now, they will lose Kobe Gibson, and that's going to be, you know, a pretty big loss. Defensively, she's just a stalwart on defense. You can put her at pretty much any position. I mean, she was all league last year at first base. She wanted to go back to her second base position this year. She did that. She got moved to shortstop a little bit too because of some injuries. But the infield at the end of the season was kind of starting to settle in and find their spot. They lost Molly Culotta for about half the season. Zoe Reeder, another senior, stepped in, did an amazing job at catcher. She played some third base before that. And so there was just so many pieces getting moved around this year that if they can have a season where the girls can kind of settle into their positions, I think next year is going to be a great season. And so they finished the season. This was actually a week ago, but we didn't have a show last week, so we're going to go ahead and hit a couple of these things that I would have reported on last week. But they went to Illinois Valley and swept a doubleheader, 15-5, 22-6. And in fact, I mentioned Kobe Gibson. She had a great day, especially offensively, including a home run, which I believe was in game two. And that was a hustle home run as much as a deep ball home run, because there's no fence at Illinois Valley for the softball field. And in fact, I was out at the car. I had just finished up with baseball, and I was going to head over and watch the rest of the softball. And I saw the hit, and I saw the fielders chasing it down out in no man's land. And so Kobe had to hustle around for the home run. But anyhow, they finished strong. They swept Ivy for the last two games of the season. They were out of contention for the playoffs. But again, I think next season is going to be a really good bounce-back year for the Chieftains, and I'm really looking forward to it. Now, Chieftain baseball, they're not done. They also went to Ivy. They swept their doubleheader. And earlier in that same week, they took on Lakeview and beat Lakeview 2-1. That was a game we carried right here on the bridge. And that was an excellent game, and it really put the Chieftains in the driver's seat for the playoffs, because it gave them the season series lead on Lakeview. They had won 2 out of 3 against Lakeview, and so all they had to do was go into IV and get a split. But of course, they wanted to sweep because they didn't want there to be a tie and win by the tiebreaker. They wanted to win it outright, and that's exactly what they did. Some great pitching on the day. Derek Nelson and Henry Black both pitched really stellar games. And the offense just did what they've been doing lately. They just scored a lot of runs. And so they swept that doubleheader. And combining that with that victory versus Lakeview, they get into the playoffs as the second team out of the Southern Cascade Conference. They are most likely going to be the 15 seed, which means they will play against the 2 seed in the tournament. And the rankings don't lock in until tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. That's the OSAA that does those rankings. But the team that they're playing will be the number 2 ranked. Stanfield, it's a combination team, Stanfield Echo, those are 2 different schools. Stanfield Secondary School is the primary program, and Echo is the school that's also contributing athletes to that team. They are ranked number 2 in the OSAA. Their RPI ranking, which is another ranking system on the OSAA website that you can look at, they are the number 1 team. So it's going to be a tough task, but I think the way the Chieftains are hitting, and with the strong pitching that they've been getting, they've got a good shot to steal this game and continue on in the playoffs. And I can tell you right now, this is tentative. I can't guarantee this yet. I need to wait for a couple of things to fall into place. We have to make sure that we have proper internet for the broadcast, and make sure that the rankings stay the way that they are. Stanfield is playing a playoff game within their conference. I don't believe it will affect the rankings, but until it's official, until the game is actually on the OSAA site, I'm not. I don't want to jinx anything and get the wrong thing put out there. But we do plan on covering that game here on 94.3 The Bridge. That's going to be a day and a half that I'm going to take off of work to get that done. And I'm not looking for sympathy. I love what I do. I so much enjoy carrying these games. But it's tentative. Watch my Rogue Talk page on Facebook. I will update you as soon as I know that everything's official, that we'll have proper internet, and what time the game is. We don't know what time it will be either. But that Stanfield is, it's a couple hours east of Portland, little more than 2 hours east of Portland. So it's almost a 7 hour drive from here. And that's going to be a long bus ride for those boys. And man, if they can somehow manage a win, that's going to be exciting stuff for the Chieftain program. So hopefully all the pieces fall in place. We will carry that game here on 94.3 The Bridge. That will be coming up this Wednesday. Again, we don't know the time, but I will confirm that on my Facebook page, and I will put that out as soon as I can. So let's move on to another sport, and that would be equestrian. Now, I've been talking about the two girls that have been doing equestrian for Rogue River High School or junior senior high school. And of course, the last report I gave, I mentioned that Carly Ledoux had qualified for the state tournament or the state meet, in the category of dressage. And so she competed. And the competition for the equestrian is all levels. It's from 1A all the way up to 6A. So you're not just, when we get to track and field, we'll be talking about the 3A championship. Well, that's just the one division. But in equestrian, they compete against everybody. And Carly finished in dressage. She had a 17th place finish in state. And she's a young kid. She's still got some years left at the high school. So we're looking for big things from Carly. And, man, we want to salute her. What a great season she had. And we look forward to next year, the equestrian team, and maybe we get some more members on that team, more than just two. So we hope that happens, and we want to salute you, Carly, for making it to that state meet. So I just mentioned track and field. Let's take a look at what track and field has been doing, and this is quite a list, and I'm going to kind of blow past my first break to get this list to you, but that's okay, because when we get when Joe gets here, we want to give him all the time we can to find out the story of this golf debacle. So track and field, they had their district meet, and I was in attendance for some of that at least. And I've got everybody that participated, I've got their results, and let's just go through them really quickly. Let's start at the top with the two state qualifiers, Cameron Smith and Aiden Norris. Cameron qualified for state in one event, Aiden in two events. Those were the only two state qualifiers for the Chieftains. We had a couple of near misses, some third place finishes that didn't quite get in. But let's go through these events really quickly here. Cameron Smith was second in the 3,000 and fifth in the 1,500. Aiden Norris was second in the 110 hurdles, fifth in the 300 hurdles, and second in the triple jump. He was also seventh in the 100 meters. Diego Augusto was 8th in the 100 meters and 5th in the 200 meters. James Price also ran the 200 meters and he was 9th. And then Carson Smith was 3rd in the 400, 4th in the long jump, and 8th in the javelin. Justin Cook was 8th in the 400. Gabe Ashidi was 7th in the shot put. And I think Gabe was signed up for another event. I don't have his result on that, and I apologize, Gabe. Gabe Tambellini was in a few events. He was 11th in the javelin, 8th in the shot put, and 7th in the discus. Kayla Barnwell was 11th in the shot, 13th in the discus, and 12th in the javelin. And finally, the last one for the boys, Grant Fehrenbacher was 7th in the pole vault. Now over on the girls' side, Eileen Yang was 7th in the long jump, 8th in the 100 meters, and 11th in the 200 meters. Alyssa Wolf was 12th in the 100 meters, and Maddie Bless was 9th in the in the 200 meters, and 6th in the 400 meters. And finally, the last two girls for Rogue River, Sequoia Worthington, 4th in the pole vault, 3rd in the long jump, and 4th in the triple jump. And Maddie Court did not register a distance, but she competed in the shot put. And finally, Rogue River native, but competing for Cascade Christian, Grace Boyson, had a really nice day for Cascade. 5th in the javelin, 3rd in the 4x100 with her teammates in that, 4th in the 300 hurdles, and a state qualifier with a 2nd in the 100 hurdles. Now, I don't have the results on how Grace did at the state meet, but I do have some of the results for Cameron and Aiden. Cameron Smith finished 10th in the 3000, and Aiden also finished 10th. Aiden Norris finished 10th in the 110 hurdles, and the only result I don't have other than Grace's results is Aiden is currently competing in the triple jump today, and I don't have those results yet, so I can't get that for you. Maybe I can get it before the end of the show. We'll see. I don't know if it'll be done in time, but good job to all of the Chieftain athletes, and great job for our state qualifiers in baseball and equestrian and track and field. And it's a good thing, and we're happy about that. So, and we're looking forward to next season. It's just going to get better. The Chieftains drop down to the 2A, and that may not be a huge help in track and field, looking at some of the state qualifiers. There's just as good athletes at the 1 and 2A as there are at the 3A. But in some of the other sports, it may make a big difference. It may make the Chieftain teams a little more competitive. And we're just looking for a great year. And as they say at Rogue River Junior Senior High School, it's always a great day to be a Chieftain. And we will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The shooter in Santa Fe, Texas, has been identified as a junior at the high school. He was known as a popular kid. He played football, but also known as a quiet kid. He was a junior at the school, which is just outside of Galveston. His name, Demetrius Bogortzis. He is in custody. Governor Greg Abbott is in Santa Fe, Texas now and confirms that 10 people were killed. At least 10 were injured this morning when a gunman opened fire at that small Texas town. It is about 30 minutes south of Houston. Those 10 killed include 8 students and a teacher, as well as a school security officer. On Wall Street today, the Dow ending up 1 to 24,715. NASDAQ down 28 to 73.54. And the S&P is closing down 7 to 27.13. For more details, srnnews.com.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
I am supporting KRRC with my prayers and treasure for the very reason I listen to 943 The Bridge. Christian radio gives me on-demand Bible studies daily, plus inspirational and encouraging music, plus rest from the woes and evil of the temporal world. It keeps me focused on Jesus' promises given to all on the cross and by his resurrection.
Visit 943thebridge.com. Click on Donate to help us out today.
Hey, what's that coming down the track? It's the Rogue Express. Rogue Express in Rogue River is an underwriter of 94.3 The Bridge. Located at 180 Classic Drive, the Rogue Express can make any kind of coffee you can think of, hot or cold. They even serve many flavors of fruit smoothies. You'll find them right next to the railroad tracks on Classic Drive. Thank you to Rogue Express, providing your cup of coffee today.
Here is your Rogue River forecast on 94.3 The Bridge. It's brought to you by our friends at Finish Line Automotive. Sunny with a high in the upper 70s, near 80 this afternoon. A clear sky, cool tonight, our low 48. And then partly cloudy on Saturday with a high near 80. Sunday, a few showers and 72. That is your Rogue River forecast, brought to you by Finish Line Automotive. Friendly and affordable at 202 Park Street. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge. We are your hometown voice.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And we're still waiting for our guest. He's coming straight from school, so we're gonna give him a little more time. And so while we wait for Joe to get here, we are going to look at some upcoming events. And just trying to bring those up so I can give you all the details. The first one, the Rogue River Chamber of Commerce has a new event that they are putting on, and just trying to bring it up so I can read you the details. Here we go. Now, this is an event where they're going to recognize the business of the year, businesses of the year. They're going to do, I believe, three awards on that, a large, a medium, and a small business that'll each get awards. There's going to be the Citizen of the Year and also the Service or Charitable Organization of the Year. And I'm just going to read this to you so you can see what and where and when and how and all of that. Welcome reception, no host bar, silent auction, and catered Italian buffet dinner. This will take place at the Evergreen Federal Bear Hotel. Of course, that's on Spalding Avenue in Grants Pass. It'll be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, June 2nd. Cocktail attire. So I guess for me, since the moths ate my suit, I'll have to break out my tux again. It's a rare year when I have my tux out twice a year, so we'll break that out maybe for that. And they would like you to please reserve your spot by May 23rd, and you can do that with an RSVP. I will give you the email to get that done. Lori@innovativepoliticalsolutions.com or the phone number 951-265-0981. And that's to talk to Lori Stone. And she would like to hear from you by May 23rd if you'd like to attend the event. Tickets are $35 per person, or you can purchase a table of eight for $280. And the checks will be made payable to the Rogue River Chamber of Commerce. So that's coming up on June the 2nd. And so we hope you'll attend that. Sounds like a fun event. Now, also coming up is a fundraiser for the Rogue River Chieftain Booster Club. And again, I will read this right from the Facebook posting. The Chieftain's second annual Booster Club golf tournament, sponsored by Brotherton Pipeline. And they're the event sponsor, but they're also looking for other sponsors and such. So let me just read this to you really quick. The second annual Chieftain Booster Club golf tournament is July 21st. And last year's tournament was a big success. They raised almost $3,500 to help out the high school athletic programs. They've got a goal of $5,000 this year, and we'd like to help them get to that goal. So reserve your spot for that tournament. There's also opportunities for sponsorships or to donate prizes for the raffles and all that kind of stuff. So you can get a hold of the Chieftain Booster Club if you would like to participate in that, either to play the tournament or to be a sponsor or to donate, you know, any items maybe for their raffle. Easiest way I can tell you to do that is to search the Rogue River Chieftain Booster Club on Facebook or just contact the high school directly. They can get you in touch with the right person there to take care of that. So we're looking forward to that. I did not get it to participate in that last year. I'm hoping that I can fit that in my schedule this year because it is definitely a fun event. And we hope to be able to get involved with that. So we're going to make this a short break here, and we gave you those announcements, and that's all I'm going to do in this break. We'll take another break, and hopefully our guest was able to break away and get on over here. And so we will take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. U.S. Senator John Cornyn says a 17-year-old student accused in a fatal shooting at a Texas high school used a semi-automatic pistol and a sawed-off shotgun to kill 10 people. The Republican from Texas says the suspect had a variety of homemade explosives in his car and at the school, including pipe bombs and pressure cooker-type bombs, similar to those used in the Boston Marathon attack. Meanwhile, final preparations are being made inside the walls of Windsor Castle. Hours ahead of tomorrow's royal wedding between Prince Harry and actress Meghan Markle. Get up early, 6 o'clock Eastern time. That's when everything kicks off on Wall Street today. The Dow ending up 1 to 24,715. NASDAQ down 28 to 73.54. The S&P down 7 to 27.13. You're listening to SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Home Depot reported slower than expected sales growth for the first quarter. Spring weather that was colder than usual has hurt sales of fertilizer, live plants, and other gardening-related items. The company says sales rose 4.2% at all established Home Depot stores during the first 3 months of the year. The Kellogg Company says it's closing operations in Venezuela at a time of widespread hunger in the South American nation. The Battle Creek, Michigan-based company says it was prompted to cease operations as a result of the current economic and social deterioration in this country. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 193 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
We would like to thank Dental Boone's Trading Post for supporting 94.3 The Bridge. Dental Boone's Trading Post is located at 470 Redwood Highway in Grants Pass, across from Wheeler Toyota. Dental Boone's Trading Post is open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5, selling antiques, collectibles, and unique gifts. Look for Dental Boone's Trading Post on Redwood Highway, where you see the life-sized bronze Indians.
Is there a day that's special to you? Become a day sponsor for 94.3 The Bridge. Day sponsors support the broadcasting efforts of KRRC with a donation of $20. And on the day you select, we announce on the radio why that day is special to you. Is it someone's birthday, anniversary, or any other day that's special to you? To become a day sponsor, call 541-582-0457 or click one-time donation under the Donate tab of 943thebridge.com.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Prayer is an important tool in our efforts to protect unborn babies and their mothers from abortion. It's a vital necessity in all environments, particularly in the White House. Perhaps Mr. Trump is the most pro-life president in our nation's history because of prayer. Vice President Mike Pence recently revealed that prayer is a regular part of activities in the White House. Whether it's public meetings or not, said Pence, I've lost count of the number of times the president has nudged me or another member of the cabinet and said, let's start this meeting with prayer. Mr. Pence added, he's someone who really believes in the power of prayer and in the importance of faith in American life. Let's all commit to praying daily for the Trump administration.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hey, what's that coming down the track? It's the Rogue Express. Rogue Express in Rogue River is an underwriter of 94.3 The Bridge. Located at 180 Classic Drive, the Rogue Express can make any kind of coffee you can think of, hot or cold. They even serve many flavors of fruit smoothies. You'll find them right next to the railroad tracks on Classic Drive. Thank you to Rogue Express, providing your cup of coffee today.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and just as promised, joining me in the studio, a member of the Rogue River Junior Senior High School golf team, Joe Lefevre. Joe, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I got to admit, I was kind of busy with the state track meet this week and trying to make sure I could get to that. I hadn't been paying attention to what went on this week with the golf team. So you guys had your state tournament on Monday and Tuesday, is that right?
Yeah.
So there was a little controversy, and I had already talked about before you got here the success of the golf team this year, just how awesome they've been. I mean, we're really, really proud of what you guys have done, and it sucks that it ends on a kind of a sour note, but you reached out to Golf Digest, and that's how I got involved with this, is I saw a friend of the show, Amber Cripps, had shared on Facebook this article in Golf Digest talking about what had happened at the state tournament, and I guess you were a big part of not only what happened, but you kind of initiated this article getting written in Golf Digest. So tell us how this started and kind of we'll go through the events that happened to get to this, because I don't know that I even quite understand. I do a little bit,
okay,
but I the article was fairly long, and I just got a hold of it last night, so I actually haven't even gone kind of read through it a couple of times to really get the gist of what happened. So tell us kind of step by step what happened that day. This was on day one of the tournament?
Yeah, this was day one. Well, first of all, I'm very proud of our team for making it to state. It's a pretty big accomplishment, and it's the first time in a long while that they've made it, so we're pretty proud of our boys and girl for making it. But day one, we go in, and actually the day before, we were playing a practice round for the golf tournament. And there was a coaches meeting that night, and all the coaches were given where each team would be hitting from on each hole, like the yardage point from the pin. And they're on hole 13, and we started on hole 10, or hole 9, 10. So hole 13 was our third hole of the day. So we get to the third hole, and we were told the day before on the practice round to hit from the yardage marker that said 172, which happened to be the girls' red tees. Now, generally, like, girls don't, or guys don't play from girls' tees. They play from the boys' tees, which is the blue, which is what the tournament was intended to be. But we were told to hit from the 172 marker. So we played from there on the practice round, and then when day one of the tournament came, we played from there again. And a couple holes later, me and my group, we were approached by a marshal and were asked what tee time group we were. So I said we were the 757 group, and he said okay and went to go drive away. And I said, is there a problem? And he replied with nothing. He just was going to keep driving. And I said, excuse me, sir, is there a problem? My coach told me that we needed to hit from the 172, which would have been the red tees today. And he just looked at me and said, stick to the blue tees, and kept driving. And so that kind of left us in shock. And, you know, like, I don't really know the people I was playing with yet. We were only three holes into an 18-hole game, hadn't really met each other yet. They were from two other schools, Columbia Christian and Grand Union. So we were kind of just left in awe and shock, like, you know, like, what's going to happen?
Okay, so before we get into more about you talking to the officials, and then I know your coaches got involved, so let's establish first that we've pretty well established then the blue, either the distance on the scorecard was wrong,
yeah,
or the markers were in the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
But the marker, based on the distance that you had down in your scorecard, this is your distance, were marked with the red markers.
Yes.
And they should have been marked with blue markers,
yeah,
or the distance should have been different.
What we found out earlier was that the golf course was supposed to move the blue tee markers to where the red ones were.
Okay, so
that way it would have been correct.
So I just want to establish that first point. The first point, yeah, is the boys did nothing wrong yet. Okay, and when we get done with this, I'm going to be saying they didn't do anything wrong at all. But to be fair, to play a little devil's advocate, let's establish the facts. The tees were in the wrong place, and you pointed this out to this official. Well, I mean, he questioned you, and
yeah,
you told him, we're supposed to hit from 172. That's 172. Whether it's red or blue,
yeah,
that's what we did. So what happened next?
Well, the full story was there's four groups who played through the holes. So I was in the fourth group, and we were the last group to get disqualified. So the first group goes through, and they notice that they remembered that they were supposed to hit from 172. They look at the scorecard. It says 172, but they see that that's the red tees. Now, generally, boys play from blue tees, so they questioned it and asked the nearest coach, which was the Columbia Christian coach. The coach says, no, hit from 172 because that's what the scorecard says. The same thing happens to the second group. The Columbia Christian coach hung back and told the second group that that's what they needed to do. The third group comes in, and it was one of our players and two of the other school's players, and then one of our assistant coaches. And the assistant coach on our team called the golf course and said, hey, what do you want us to do? Because it's the red tee markers, not the blue, and generally boys play from blues, not reds. But they didn't answer, so he left a voicemail and let them play through the hole. Now, the trick is in golf, once you play through the hole and tee off at the next hole, that declares that hole done. It's done and over. You can't go back.
So if a mistake was made,
yeah,
they can't, like, let's say there was a penalty assessed because you touched, you know, your ball went into the water and you picked it up and didn't do the right drop,
yeah,
or whatever. I'm sort of a novice to golf. I know a little bit about it. So they couldn't erase any penalties. They can't change any scores. You,
yeah,
can't replay the hole. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Once you start,
once
the next
it's done,
hole,
it's official.
Yeah.
And in this case, it ended up in a disqualification. So they're saying that's what's official.
Yes.
Okay. So what happened next then? I know I'm jumping ahead,
yeah,
a little, but go ahead and
okay,
go back to what's happening next.
So then the third group goes through. They just play through. They left the voicemail there, questioning what they should do. And they played from 172 because that's what the OSAA scorecard says. And you think, like, you know, a coach is telling me, a scorecard tells me, then yeah, I should do it. So the next group comes, and a marshal is standing right there. Now they go and they take a rangefinder, which tells you, like, how far the yardage is, and they shoot it from the blues, and they shot, like, 212. And they're saying that's not right. So they go up to the Reds and they shoot 172. Now, that's what the scorecard says. But then they had the same thought, like, you know, boys usually play from blues, not reds. So they call over a marshal who was working the tournament. And he says, no, you guys need to hit from here, and points to where the red tee marker is. So an OSAA tournament with marshals working there, they listen because the scorecard says it, the marshal says it, and a coach said it. They need to hit there. So they do the same thing and play through. Then my group comes along, and I just remembered that our coach told us we were playing 172, had us do that, we played through. And then two holes later, we were confronted by the marshal. So we were freaked out. So a couple holes later, I waved down our coach, and he said, yeah, there is a problem. We're going to figure it out. Don't worry. Just keep playing your game. Nothing really major is going to happen. So then when we finish all our 18 holes, we go turn our scorecard in, and disqualified was just written by all of our names. And we were just kind of shocked. Like, what do we do? Is that because of that hole where we teed off maybe at the wrong spot? So I begin asking my coach, and I see that he's like already in heated debate with like some of the OSAA representatives and the people running the tournament. So I went in and backed him up and said, hey, this is what happened, and why are we getting punished, you know, for doing what the coach said, the scorecard said, and the marshal said? Well, the marshal comes back and says that he did not say to hit from these markers. And of course they went with his opinion because they said that he was an attorney. So that's pretty...
Well, that's the last reason I would go with his opinion.
Well, I would probably trust that. You know, if I knew a guy who was some sort of like a law officiate, I would say, yeah, his word is pretty set in stone.
Yeah, except there's apparently more than one witness, if you want to call him that, that say something to the contrary.
So there's our head coach. There's the kids that were in the group that all say that he told them to hit from there, but he's denying it and saying that they didn't. But all they did was call him over and say, did you tell him to hit from here? And he said, no, I did not. And then they just sent him on his way. You know, there's no question. There's nothing really. And in the grand scheme of things, what happened was with the phone call that the third group put in, the person listened to the voicemail. I think he was the OSAA something. He was an officiate of them.
Sure, sure.
He listens to the voicemail, and he doesn't call back our assistant coach. Instead, he calls the marshal and says, hey, I think there's a problem on hole 13. So the marshal goes to 13 and says, hey, what's the problem? And these kids are standing there, and they're like, oh, we don't know where to hit from. Well, he says, okay, hit from the blues. Goes back and tells all the other groups hit from blue, and even though that the scorecard says 172, you still need to hit from the blues.
Well, and he didn't even establish
exactly
whether or not someone else had told them, you know, which we know that someone did, even though he's denying it now.
Yeah.
Someone else had told the rest of the players that had already come through there to hit from the red tees.
Yes.
If he had established that ahead of time, they could have called that the official markers.
And then
had everyone else play from them, and it would have been fine. But instead, they just assumed that we're going to tell you to play from the blue and disqualify 12 golfers for hitting from the reds. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's where we're seeing the mistake at, you know, because it's not like this is some PGA thing.
No.
It's not professional in the big grand scheme of things. It's just high school golf.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that, and I'm having trouble with my iPad getting it to scroll properly, but as I was reading the article, there was, I believe a USGA... a lady from the USGA that's quoted in the article, and even in her quote, and I'm not even sure if she was at the event.
No, I don't think she was.
She put this on the kids, that this was the kids' fault. I don't see any evidence of that. I see kids that said, hey, what do we do? Because we can read. We know what we were told.
Uh-huh.
And these markers are in the wrong place. So, the first thing I'm going to say before we run out of time, and I wish we had more time, but unfortunately, my show is a little early for school, so I realize that it's hard to get people here. I don't think they handled this properly. I think that you are a bit of a hero for getting this published online in Golf Digest. That's really cool. I mean,
I'm just glad that the guy...
The most attention I can get in the media is I've been mentioned in the Rogue River Press a couple of times. So, I mean, I'm happy. I would encourage people to go read the article. I don't know that anything can be done about it except that I would go back to what this lady from the USGA said. That's discouraging to me because I understand the rules of golf are kind of hard and fast, and we don't want to change anything. But a lot of kids were hurt this tournament by mistakes made by adults. And to put that back on the kids, I think is not only disingenuous for someone that wasn't there, but I think it's a little reckless because you're trying to protect the game, and I get it. Golf is this storied sport that, you know, has all these traditions, but for goodness sakes, isn't sport supposed to be about, you know, fairness and the best team winning in a fair way?
Absolutely.
And I just don't think that's what happened here. So how did it go? We've got a few more minutes. So what did you guys do heading into day two, knowing that you were disqualified? Did you go ahead and play your round?
Well, there was a lot of discouragement after day one, and we kind of talked with our coach saying, like, you know, we don't have to come back the second day because our score doesn't count the first day. It's not going to add into our second day score, so we're not even going to come close to placing. So technically, like, we could not come back. But our coach sat us down and said, no, we need to not be sore losers about this, it'd be babies. We need to come back tomorrow, play our best game, and do our best, and then get out and leave. You know, we don't need to be jerks about it. We just need to roll with the punches and say, okay, if you're going to play us like that, then we'll show you who we really are. And I think that's what we did. We came back the second day. Everyone shot really well. One of our kids shot in the 80s. They did very good.
Let's mention all the team members because I mentioned a couple of them earlier, but I didn't want to leave anybody out. So tell me everybody on the team, and in fact, if you know this, tell me everybody on the girls team as well.
Okay, so we've got Evan Mingerhausen, John and James Gordon, Asher Brotherton. There's me, Joe Lefever, and we have our girl who placed individually, Sophia Woodall,
our first female state golfer.
Pretty
That's
amazing.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about it here, and I just didn't want to miss anybody. And who else is on the girls' team? Let's get that, too.
So there's Catherine Gordon, Kaylee Brotherton, and Samantha Peterson.
But I'm getting a head shake over here. I don't want to miss anybody, so...
But I think Sophia was the only one who placed individually to go to state.
Right, she was, that's awesome, and I think it shows the character of the team that I think all but one shot under 100, which is not
all of us,
you know,
shot under 100 the first day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the second day, just one person was over 100, which still is amazing.
Yeah, well, and I think I mentioned it earlier. I think that was the freshman, right? Isn't Asher's a freshman?
Yeah, and so, he is very good.
Yeah, so he's got a bright future ahead, too. And so, yeah, well, I think that everybody's kind of raving about how you guys handled this, and I shared that, which is why I wanted to have you here to talk about it. It's been fun watching, and I haven't been out to an event yet, but it's been fun watching how well the team has done. I've been watching her for some time. You know, you're a senior, right? This year, your last year. And so to get our first girl into the state tournament,
to get a
whole team into the boys tournament. You know, we've in years past, it seems like we might have individuals that do well, but we haven't had enough of to even make up a whole team. So the success you guys have had has just been amazing.
It's been a great year, and to end it on this note is a little interesting. I think that's why we wanted to take it to such a...
It's discouraging, but I think it's something you can take a hold of. Take it into next season. Yeah. Now, I don't know, what year are you?
I'm a senior, so this
You're
is
a senior, so you're done, but we got some other kids that will be coming back next year.
Definitely leads into a good year.
And I think that, So is there anything else about this thing I can give you about 15 seconds that you want to say about this event that... debacle.
I think we're all pretty shocked at the public's attention that went into this. We didn't expect to get this far, and I think we're pretty glad that it did, and we're pretty excited as to what's to come. I think just the fact of getting the story out there is really good.
Yeah, that's great. And what I mentioned of talking in the background, Sophia's here also, and she had a great year. And so, Joe, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention and for coming in. And everybody else, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.